Hello and welcome to this Gateway House podcast. My name is Vipata Vikram Singh and I'm a website associate here at Gateway House. Today we have with us Ambassador Neelam Deo, Director at Gateway House, and Amit Bhandaria, Energy and Environment Fellow. Today we're going to be focusing on West Asia. Prime Minister Modi has just returned from a visit to Iran, and it seems that there's a lot of effort on reshaping India's relationship with West Asia. In fact, refining it into something that is much richer and useful to all of the countries in that region. So over the last year, Prime Minister Modi has visited three major West Asian nations, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and most recently Iran. Looking at the relationship with Iran and the recent visit, what's the most notable outcome of this visit?
So The visits to UAE and Saudi Arabia and the return visit from UAE of the Crown Prince who heads the investment fund, in some sense, deal with our traditional interests in the region as they relate to the flow of energy, as they relate to the security and well-being of expat Indians working in the region. But what has changed are two important things. One is the promise of investment, especially from the UAE. A $75 fund is to be set up for investing in India. You also have, which is a relatively new feature, though it began a few years earlier, which is cooperation against terrorism. The fact that the two, Saudi Arabia and UAE, are so openly wanting to cooperate and in fact sending back people who have been identified as terrorists has implications also for the relationship with Pakistan. Most of the terrorists who have been repatriated from these countries are certainly Indians, but they are Indians who have in one way or another either been inspired or trained or in some way inveigled by Pakistan into terrorist activities against India. Now, post-independence, there was a natural tendency for the Arab Muslim countries to have closer relations with Pakistan than with India. That is clearly changing at this moment. Coming to Iran, this is a very important visit, but it is not something new that is being created. Certainly, it is the first visit of the Indian Prime Minister to Tehran after the lifting of sanctions about 5-6 months ago. But it follows on a number of other visits. The Chinese president has been there, a number of European leaders have been there. Now, this is should not be assessed in those terms of whether you were the first to get in there, because in fact, this has been one of the best prepared visits by an Indian prime minister. Not only the external affairs minister, but also the Nitin Gadkari, the minister for transport has been there. The minister for petroleum, Mr. Pradhan, has been in Iran as well. And therefore, you have had actually a quite solid outcome. Of the dozen agreements that were signed, more than half of them actually pertain to cultural exchanges, etc., which are important, but in their own place. The most important strategic understanding was the building of the port, the expansion of the port at Chabahar. And those contracts have actually now been signed. Exim Bank is extending money. It needs to be noted that the agreement for the development of Chabahar was a trilateral agreement. The president of Afghanistan was also there, and he also spoke about how this agreement would enable the countries concerned to change their geographies. What he means really is that now we will all be able to trade with parts of the world from which we were blocked for trading before by Pakistan, by Pakistani intransigence. So that is the single most important strategic aspect of the visit of the Prime Minister to Iran. And its importance has to be seen in the fact that once Chabahar is developed enough, there are plans to develop a whole SEZ around it, petrochemical industries, to extend a road from there all the way to join up with to the border with Afghanistan, and eventually the North-South corridor, which would enable India to trade by land with countries in Central Asia, which could include also at some stage the flow of energy resources from Central Asia to India. So it is a really significant development.
Right, Amit, just to get you into this, into the conversation, India's interest in West Asia certainly seemed to be slightly energy oriented. The visits to Saudi Arabia and to Iran are both nations that are very, you know, prominent oil producing nations, and you know, India has been very strong partners with Iran for oil. Will this kind of outreach help you know, secure energy resources in this area and improve the oil flow to India and across the world?
Okay, yes, actually this is a what you're saying is quite correct. India imports about 80% of its oil, and more than 60% of these imports come from West Asia, and all of these pass through the Straits of Hormuz. So one of the problems that India has is that if oil price goes up, it pays more. The second problem is that because all of this oil passes through a very narrow choke point, India's energy security is vulnerable to unrest in the West Asian region. So the agreements with Iran partly help alleviate this problem. One of the strategies that we have suggested for India, and which India has also been pursuing for a long time, is to acquire energy assets overseas. So with Iran, one of the transactions we have, the deal wasn't signed this time, but it has been going on for a while, is to take up a stake in a gas field in Iran. So the ownership of a gas field which from which assets can be brought onto India will help improve India's financial sustainability in energy. Secondly, India has signed an agreement to develop the Chabahar port, which can eventually come up as an oil export terminal as well. So Chabahar port is opens into the Bay of Bengal, Arabian Sea directly. It is not any ship coming out of Chabahar will not have to pass through the Hormuz Straits. So in a way, it reduces India's critical dependence on that particular choke point. So these two things have the potential to improve India's energy security.
There also seems to be a bit of a balancing act that India is carrying out in this region. It's in Iran and Saudi Arabia have a bit of a Cold War going on. And, you know, Modi is going to be visiting Israel, a controversial country in that region. And it seems like India really wants to maintain a neutral stance. But should India really be putting itself into this kind of a predicament where it may actually be forced into a situation where it has to take sides?
So you're right. Hostility between Iran and Saudi Arabia is high at the moment. And each of them is trying to line up countries in their camp. Israel is always controversial. Right now, it is at odds with Iran, but in the past, it has been at odds with the Gulf countries led by Saudi Arabia. This region, of course, is a region of interest to everybody because of its energy resources. So India is hardly the only country which is going in there and interacting with Iran, with Saudi Arabia. And Israel, which has become critical to India's defense preparedness. Everybody is doing that. The United States is there as the security guarantor for Israel and for Saudi Arabia, for all the Gulf regions. But it has also tried to normalize its relations with Iran through the signing of the Nuclear Energy Agreement, along with other members of the Security Council. Russia, which because of the problems of the dissolution of the Soviet Union, has now reinserted itself into the region, partly at least through the war in Syria. China is a big investor in all of these countries, and Iran is an important part of its One Road, One Belt projects. So India is not the only one who's getting in there. And all the countries that are interacting with the leadership in this region are constantly, their support is sought against the rivals. But like other countries which are in the region, I think maintaining neutrality does not require that you maintain a distance. It requires that you have extensive relations and interaction with all the parties. And at any time, you can be urging a reduction in differences and hostilities, but you do not have to be so neutral as to have as to play no part in the region, because we have important interests in this region which we have to safeguard, and the best way to safeguard them is by improving relations with all of these countries.
Improving the relations between these countries seems to be a trend. I mean, the amount of the visits that have been happening, but do these visits and the various agreements that have been signed, do they suggest that India might actually be moving towards an official kind of Act West policy, similar to how we have the Act East policy for Southeast and East Asia?
I think that's an interesting way to put it, because we do have sort of a policy called Look West. But when you said look west, it meant looking at Europe and, you know, not interacting with this whole region which lies between India and Europe and the United States. But yes, I think whether or not we are going to call it Act West, it is becoming like the policy towards Southeast Asia, the ASEAN countries, where we used to call it Look East, but we now call it Act East. And the activism with these countries in the Gulf, with Iran, with Israel, and hopefully we will also be able to raise the level of the relationship with Turkey, which is the other big player in this region, into an Act West policy, just because of the importance of the interests and equities that we have in the region.
So evolving... While an Act West policy would certainly be much more geopolitical in nature, Amit, do you feel that there might also be an energy policy developing out of this, where India's strengthening the energy ties that it has in the region? I believe India has that there is a pipeline that India is developing with some of the Central Asian countries. Is there a possibility of that linking up with the West Asian resources?
Actually, Central Asia and also Iran are both extremely rich in natural gas. Turkmenistan has one of the world's largest gas reserves, and Iran has possibly the world's largest reserves of gas. Problem in getting them to India via pipeline so far has always been that the pipeline would pass overland through Pakistan, and which really has not been acceptable at a strategic level to India. So Chabahar port eventually, if it develops, can also be an LNG export terminal, and which completely bypasses Pakistan and the whole pipeline route, A. B, Turkmenistan, which is also looking at diversifying its gas export markets, can eventually draw a pipeline which, instead of going to India, goes to Chabahar, and then gas can be loaded again on those same LNG carriers and brought to India and to other markets globally. So from the Indian perspective, this bypasses the Pakistan problem, this creates additional gas supply in the market. And from a Turkmenistan and Iranian perspective, they are able to sell their gas not just to one country, because a pipeline ties you to a single customer. They actually are now part of the global gas market.
Yes, so, and don't forget, Amit, that Israel also has in recent times had a huge gas find. So yes, there is an energy policy, and it encompasses all the countries in the region.
Lastly, you know, today is the day where the Modi NDA government will be completing its 2 years in office. So just to get a take on that, how significant has the Modi government been in shaping the relations that India has with West Asia?
I think the Modi government has certainly been effective. By the sheer energy and the number of visits that have taken place, the level of the interaction has been intensified. And of course, if you do enough, then it changes the quality of the relationship as well. And this is certainly true of the existing relations, that is with the Gulf countries, the renewal of the relationship with Iran, the willingness to be open about the relationship with Israel. It has actually reshaped these equations, and it has gotten past the reticence that we had, and in some ways even the concern that this would somehow not be acceptable to our own Muslim community. The Muslim community has not commented on these activities. It has shown no interest beyond the kind of interest that anybody else in the country has.
Well, with Narendra Modi planning another visit to another West Asian nation of Oman next week, we can be sure that this discussion will pick up again shortly. You are listening to the Gateway House podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. And if you have any suggestions for us, please leave it to us in the comments below. You can find us on Twitter, SoundCloud, and iTunes.